Thank you, Brother Mike. Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Philippians chapter 4. The good Lord willing, we'll go back to our study on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit tonight. I encourage you to be back in the house of God at 6:30. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Two familiar verses of Scripture. I'm going to use this as the springboard for my message, asking the Lord to touch it and bless it today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Bible says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I'd like you to mark that phrase in verse 7, "the peace of God." The peace of God. Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Father, would you give me strength? And would you help me, Lord God, to be faithful to your word? I need your power, your strength, your influence. And I pray that you'll manifest yourself in this place. We need you today. We want you to know that. And I know in my heart that you want to do something special in this service. And I pray that you will do just that. If there's one that's come here that's never trusted Christ, may today be the day of salvation. And we who have made peace with God, help us to experience the peace of God. And may you deal with us thoroughly. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we live in a world of uncertainties. From the situation with North Korea to the hurricanes that have hit our country in the recent days, including the one that's barreling down on the state of Florida as I'm speaking right now, to health concerns, to the loss of a loved one, to a wayward child, to civil unrest. There's so many things that can cause people to be uneasy, concerned, worried about the future. But I want us to understand that in the middle of all the uncertainties, in the middle of all the uneasiness of life, the peace of God is available. And His peace can carry us through. The word peace here means quietness. It means rest. This means that in the middle of this world of sorrow and trouble, that there is a quietness and there is a rest that's available. And oh, how we need that quietness today. Oh, how we need that rest deep in our bosoms this morning. Maybe you've come into this service today with an uneasiness, with an unrest in your heart, with a worry, with a fretting, searching for answers. I'm here to tell you this morning that there is hope, and there is peace that passeth all understanding. The kind of peace that helped Horatio Spafford in the death of his girls. When one of the beloved hymns of the faith, "It Is Well," was written, Mr. Spafford, a wealthy businessman in Chicago, lost much of his real estate holdings in the great Chicago fire. After the fire, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to Europe, intending to join them later for a time of rest, as well as to assist D.L. Moody and Sankey with a revival in Great Britain. But the voyage was struck by disaster, and Spafford received a cable from his wife with the painful message: saved, alone. His wife had survived the shipwreck, but not his four daughters. His four daughters drowned in that ocean. Spafford quickly made arrangements to join his wife, and when they reached the spot where his daughters had drowned, Spafford marked that sad event with the words of hope, and I quote, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It's that peace that that man had in the death of his four daughters that I'm preaching to you about this morning. The peace that comes from God. May I say to you this morning that we all need this peace. That gives a quietness and a rest even in the most difficult of times. And I want to give you three simple things concerning the peace of God this morning. And these things are so simple. But yet if you'll listen to me, it'll change your life today. May I say to you that the world is after what I'm preaching about this morning. May I say to you that the world is searching for this peace. They don't realize it, they don't understand it, but they're learning that what they think it comes from is not really where it comes from. And I want to give you three things about the peace of God this morning. Number one, first of all, I want you to see the cause of this peace. The cause. Make no mistakes about it. The cause of the peace that gives rest and quietness in this world. The cause is God alone. May I say to you that He is the source of this peace? May I say to you that He is the author of this peace? It is the peace the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. Many verses teach us this. Numbers 6:26, the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Isaiah 9 verse 6, and unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. A prophecy of the coming Christ child, the coming Messiah, the coming Lord Jesus. And it says, and the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians 4:9, one of God's names says, the God of peace shall be with you. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Revelation 1:4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from Him which is, which was, and which is to come. Acts 10:36, I'm getting blessed up here, friends. Acts 10:36, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Romans 15:33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Ephesians 2:14, for He, Christ, is our peace, who hath made both one. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Make no mistakes about it. The peace that this world's searching for only comes from God. As the song says, peace, peace, wonderful peace. That's our altar call today, whoever's playing the piano. So get ready for it. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. What's it say? Coming down from the Father above. It cannot be found in anything else. It cannot be found in anybody else. There are people searching for this peace in money. They're searching for this peace in fame. They're searching for this peace in position. They're searching for this peace in possessions. They're searching for this peace in their spouse. Their church. They're searching for this peace in their children. They're searching for this peace in their home, in their job, and they're finding out something. All of that ends to emptiness. All of that ends in vanity. Nothing or nobody can give you the peace that I'm preaching to you about this morning outside of God and God alone. It's the peace of God. He's the author. He's the source. He's the cause. He's the one who has it. Let me give you the second thing. Not only do we see the cause of this peace, but number two, we see the candidate for this peace. The candidate for this peace. Do you understand that not everybody's a candidate for this peace? Not everybody's a recipient of this peace. Not everybody can have this peace. Because just as this peace only comes from God, this peace is only available to the children of God. Did you know that? May I say this to you, that only if you have been brought into peace with God can you experience the peace of God that comes from Him. The Bible plainly teaches that when we are born at enmity with God. The Bible plainly teaches that when we were born in this world, that God is our enemy. We are His enemy. And we are without God, without hope in this world, on our way to a devil's hell. But Jesus Christ came. The Son of God came to live a perfect sinless life and to bleed and die on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible teaches us the reason He bled and died in Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. You know what that is? That is when Jesus Christ died. He was dying as our peace offering. That's what He was doing. He was dying to bring us into peace with God. We who are born at enmity with God. The Son of God, when He died, was buried and rose again. He paid the price to bring us back into favor with God. And God, whose wrath is upon us, is now at peace with us. And may I say this to you this morning, that if you have been made at peace with God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the peace of God is available to you. The Bible teaches in Ephesians 6:23, peace be to the brethren. Did you hear that? Peace be to the brethren. Colossians 1:2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace. Who? To the saints and the faithful brethren. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. It's only God's people who have peace. It's only God's people who can experience the peace of God. Psalm 37:37, mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You study that verse, mark the perfect man. Of course, Mark Randolph said that's his life verse. Mark the perfect man. But anyway, you study that verse, what it means, the perfect man, the upright man. It talks about those who are saved. There's no perfect man outside of Jesus Christ. And the only way we can be made perfect is in the body of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, mark the perfect man. Look at the man who's been made perfect. Mark the upright man. The end of that man is peace. Let me tell you what your end is if you're saved today. Peace. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That's enough, that right there is enough to make somebody shout who's never shouted in their life. Amen. I'm telling you, the end of God's people is peace. It's what people are searching for. And it's not only my end, I can enjoy it on the journey there. Amen. The Bible says in Psalm 85 verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints. On the flip side, Isaiah 48:22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. The Bible says in Isaiah 57:20 and 21, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. It's important to understand the peace of God that passeth all understanding is only available to those who are in the family of God. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've been justified by faith and be made at peace with God, then this peace of God that passeth all understanding, that no matter what's going on, you can have a quietness and a rest, that peace is available to you. I ask you a question this morning. If the only candidate for the peace of God are those who know Jesus, are you a candidate? Can you experience the peace of God? Because you've been made at peace with God. If you're here this morning and say, I don't even know what you're talking about, you've come to a good place. Amen. If you've come to this place and say, I don't know about that. I don't have complete assurance that if I died, I'm going to heaven. Hey, your need is not the peace of God. Your need is the peace with God, and then He'll give you the peace of God. Somebody say amen there, please. I'm telling you that you cannot have what I'm preaching on unless you're in the family of God. Number one, the cause of it is God Himself. The candidate for it is the children of God. And number three, isn't this the obvious question? It's a statement, but it's really a question. What's the conditions of it? Okay, you say, I'm saved, I'm born again, I'm a child of God. I know I'm in God's. If you don't worry about the rest of it. You need Jesus. But if you've been saved, you know the Lord. The third thing I want to give you are the conditions to have this peace. Do you understand there is an outline in the Word of God given to you that if you'll follow this outline, He'll give you peace? It's an outline. May I say this to you this morning? If you're a child of God, the peace of God is available to you. But it's not automatic. Now, peace with God comes instantaneously at salvation. Amen. But the peace of God is conditional. God just doesn't go around and say, I'm going to give you peace, 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 wonderful peace. That's what He wants to do. But He says, if you're going to experience that peace, I've got some conditions. I want to give them to you. What are these conditions? These are so simple, it's ridiculous. But I guarantee you, if you do not have this peace this morning, one of these five things are off. Have I got your attention? If you don't have it, one of these five things is amiss. Number one, you ready? This is deep now. I don't know if you're going to be able to understand this or not. I'm being silly with you. Number one condition, love and obey the Word of God. Let me read these verses. Listen to this now. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Listen to this verse, Isaiah 48:18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been like a river. Did you hear that verse? God is speaking to them and says, oh, if you would just obey me, your peace would be like a river. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 1 and 2, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto you. You know what all these verses tell me? Great peace have they which love thy law. Oh, that you had obeyed my commandments and your peace would have been like a river. Don't forget my law, but keep my commandments because they are peace to you. You know what all that tells me? That tells me that if you do not love this book, you do not obey this book, you will not have the peace of God. It's not going to come. See, this is one of the greatest reasons why you need to make sure that you're in obedience to the Word of God. There are people living in sin as I speak. There are people in this auditorium. I don't know who you are. None of my business. I don't have anybody in mind. But there are people right now, there's something in this book that you know God's told you to do it and you've still not done it. And you wonder why you worry and fret all the time. I'm telling you, my friends, we must love and obey this book to have peace. That's number one. Let me give you number two. Not only love and obey the Word of God, but number two, be right with God. Have a clean heart before God. Listen to this. Psalm 38:3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Listen to this. Neither is there any rest. Look it up. It's the same word from which we get the word peace. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Did you hear that? The psalmist said, there's no peace in my bones because of my sin. You know, this is simple, yet it's profound. If a child of God wants the peace of God, he or she must be right with God. Someone who's living in sin, you're not going to have the peace of God. It's not going to happen. This is one of the conditions. You must love and obey the Word of God. Stay with me now. See if you can get it. You must love and obey the Word of God. You must be right with God. By the way, where does this peace come from? God. So guess what the conditions hover around? God and what you do with Him. You must love and obey His Word. You must be right with Him. Number three condition is you must pray with thanksgiving to Him. Now this is our text. Now notice it says, be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything, now I didn't say it, the Word of God did. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Let me make a statement, ask a question, or vice versa, whatever. When's the last time trouble hit you and you said, thank you, God? That does not mean that God's behind it. Matter of fact, God gets blamed for a lot of stuff He didn't do. Amen. But no matter what happens, because the devil is unleashing his fury as well on this earth, and no matter what happens, God is still the answer to it. And God is searching for people that even when troubles are hitting, troubles are brewing, troubles are, beating down, whether it be a physical problem, a financial problem, a marital problem, whatever it is, when's the last time you got on your face and say, God, I don't understand this, but I just want to thank You for who You are in the middle of it. I want to thank You that You are God. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't have to, because I know You're good and You're always good and You make no mistakes. And I'm asking You, in the middle of it, would You give me peace? Do you understand that's one of the conditions to have it? It says right here, that right here in verse number 6, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And then it's a promise, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Charles Spurgeon put it this way, be not careful, but prayerful. He said, prayer is the cure for care. I like that. One can experience the peace of God by praying in everything with thanksgiving to God who is always good. See, what's the devil try to do when trouble hits? What's he try to do? He tries to turn your heart away from God, get you bitter against God, get you angry at God. Why is God letting this happen? Why is God doing this to me? May I say this to you? No matter what's happening, even if you don't understand it, some of it's of God, some of it's not of God, but God is the same in the middle of both of them. He's always good. He never makes mistakes. He's always great. He's always magnificent. And we can thank Him no matter what's going on in life. And we can make our requests known unto Him. That's a condition. Let me give you condition number four. Be filled with the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and then the third one is peace. This verse tells us that peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, it comes from God, comes from His Spirit. In other words, it comes from Him. Therefore, we should make sure we are filled with the Spirit of God. That means controlled by the Spirit of God, that we're an empty vessel and He fills us up and lives through us, thus imparting His peace to us. Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. Now get this. Don't let this upset you. Let it speak to your heart. There's a difference. Don't let it upset you, but let it speak to your heart. The point is, a child of God who's in the state of unrest, worry, fretting, is displaying they're not filled with the Spirit. Did you hear what I just said? Now, we've all been there. You're looking at a worry wart. You're not the only one that worries. But every time I worry, I am not filled with the Spirit of God. Because if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, there will be peace in the midst of the storm. That's what He does. Romans 8:6 puts it this way, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You know what that verse means? It means if you mind the things of the Spirit. If you mind the things of the flesh, it's death. But if you mind the things of the Spirit, it is peace. It's peace. That's condition number four. Condition number five is probably the hardest one. They're all not easy, or everybody'd be doing it. Amen. But this fifth one is probably the hardest. And that is this. It's a condition to have the peace of God. We must believe and trust God. You must believe Him and trust Him. Listen to these verses. Mark 5:34. And He said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. You have believed, right? I send you away in peace. Psalm 4 verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Isaiah 26:3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Are there things that we do not understand? Amen or not? Are there things that I wish sometimes we knew the answer to? Amen or not? Sure. We don't know the answer to these things. Let's take this hurricane right now. Now, there's people have their own ideas. One actress said it's Mother Nature's wrath against putting Donald Trump into the White House. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Anybody agrees with that? That's ridiculous. May I say this to you? There's no such thing as Mother Nature. Amen. He's called Father God's what He's called. I am not going to be somebody that says, here's what God is doing, because I don't know. Look here, please. You don't either. And if you say, yes, I do, no, you don't. I don't know what God's doing. I have my thoughts. You'd like to know what it is? Come see me personally. I'm telling you, I don't know. But I do know this. I do know that God can be trusted. And I do know that He can be believed. Even when I don't know what He's doing. Now, folks, let me say something to you. That'll help you in life if you'll listen to this preacher. Let me give you some stories here to kind of emphasize what I mean. Just believe God. Just believe Him. Just trust Him. Even when the devil's behind something, you can still trust God to help you through it. You can still trust God to carry you along the way. You understand what I'm saying to you? Let me give you some stories here. This one man tells of a storm that caught a vessel off of a rocky coast and threatened to drive it and its passengers to destruction. In the midst of the terror, there was one daring man who was contrary to orders. He went to the deck. He made a dangerous passage to the pilot house and saw the steerman lashed fast at his point of holding the wheel unwaveringly, and inch by inch, he was turning the ship out once more to sea. The pilot saw the watcher who had come up there dangerously to look, and when he saw him, he turned and smiled at him. The pilot did, the one that was steering the ship, he smiled at him. The daring passenger went below and gave out a note of cheer, and I quote, he said, "I have seen the face of the pilot, and he smiled. All is well." You look here, please. I know down here it's destruction, it's chaos, it's worry, doubt, and fear. But if you see the pilot behind the steering wheel, whose name is Jesus, he's got a big smile on his face, friends. He's got it under control. Everything's going to be just fine. Believe him. Trust him. In 1555, Nicholas Ridley was sentenced to be burned at the stake in England because of his witness for Christ. On the night before his execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison to be of assistance and comfort. In other words, he knew, I'm going to be burned to death in the morning. But he declined the offer of his brother. And he said, and I quote, "I intend, God willing," I'm quoting, "I intend, God willing, to go to bed and sleep as quietly tonight as ever I did." Because he knew the peace of God that I'm preaching about. He could rest in the strength of the everlasting arms of his Lord, even in the face of being burnt at the stake. I am not preaching today that you need this and everything's going to be okay. I'm not saying that. Because I don't know. It may be the worst thing that's ever happened in your life. But even if the worst happens, the peace of God can give you quietness and rest and comfort and peace. I'm reminded of the story here, just talking about the thought of just trust God, trust your Father. During the French War, a train carrying dispatches to the headquarters was commanded to go over 60 miles of rough road, and they had to reach their destination within an hour. Can you imagine that? A train in 1 hour had to go over rough terrain, 60 miles. The engineer was the bearer of the dispatch, and his wife and child were in the coach. They were on board. Every moment threatened to pitch the train over the embankment or over a bridge. And as it rolled from side to side, leaping at times, almost in the air, rushing past stations, the few people inside held their breath and often cried out with terror as they sped along. You can imagine. But there was one on that train who knew nothing of the fears. That was his child. I mean, just nothing. Happy as a little bird. She laughed out loud when they asked if she was afraid. And she looked up and said, "Why? My father's at the engine." A little later, the engineer came into the car to cheer up his wife, and as he wiped the great drops of sweat from his own face, the child leaped into his arms and laid her head upon his bosom, as happy and peaceful as when they were at home. And what a lesson that is for the children of the Heavenly Father. It's rough sometimes, doesn't it? Feels like you're going to go over. Feels like it. Oh, I'm telling you, we've lost air. I mean, we're up in the air. Wait a minute. Are you like the many passengers that were scared to death and worried and crying out? You're like the little child that says, "I don't have anything to worry about. My daddy's at the helm. My daddy's he's at the engine. My daddy's driving this train. My daddy will take care of this." Friends, oh, how we need this peace. Would you agree, amen or not? It's the peace which says, "I don't understand everything, but I'll just rest in God and He'll bring me out all right." It's the peace which makes one say, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. It's the peace which said, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's the peace which said, I will trust the Lord and not fear what man shall do unto me. It's the peace which says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. It's the peace which says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. It's the peace which says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, and he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. This peace is available to God's children who meet the conditions. And may I say to you, I hope you got it. The conditions to have this peace is first of all, you must love and obey God's word. You must be right with God. You must pray with thanksgiving to God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Believe and trust God. This peace that only comes from God to God's children, it comes to God's children who do the right things with Him. And when you do the right things with Him, He unloads the peace of God on you. And even sometimes when the worst thing happens, the world can't explain it. They're like, how in the world are you making it through that like that? How are you doing that? What's different about you? I'll tell you what's different about you. God's peace is helping you through. And this is what we need. As we prepare for the invitation, whoever is coming to the piano, I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I know today that you need this. It may not be this very day you need it, but I guarantee you need it for your life. And I start where God starts. That is, while I'm preaching on the peace of God, you must have peace with God to even be a candidate. And as heads are bowed and eyes are closed and they begin to play through softly this song on page 229, I ask you, do you know you are at peace with God? Do you know that you're a child of God? Are you a candidate for the peace of God? And you today say, Jody, thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm a born-again child of God. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. I don't hope so. I know so. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. Thank you. Isn't it good to be able to put your hands up to that? If you put your hand up to that, that means you've been made at peace with God. Don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over that. Some of you could not raise your hand. Thank you for being honest. I mean, I say to you that the peace of God is not even available to you until, first of all, you're made at peace with God. Is there somebody today say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be at peace with God. I need to be saved. I know this is what I need. I need Jesus. I need Him to save me, change my life, forgive my sin. That's never happened to me, and I know that's my need. If that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't do that for anything in the world. But I would like to pray for you. Is there somebody like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, pray for me. I'm not even sure I'm a Christian. Or you know you're lost. Anybody at all like that? My eyes are surfing. I'm looking. Anybody at all? As far as I know, they're all saved people here this morning. Thank God for that. Here's my question. Do you need this peace I preached about today? Maybe you have family in Florida. Maybe you have something you're going through that nobody else on planet Earth knows about but you and God. Or maybe it's a physical problem. Maybe it's a loss of a loved one that you just can't get over. Whatever it may be, you say, Jody, when God laid this message on your heart, He had me in mind because He used it in my life today. Be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine. You say, God used this in my life today. Put your hand up big and high. God used this in my life today. Yes. God bless you. God bless you. We have Brother Gary begin to sing. And if God has spoken to you, I want you to come. And I want you to start today as a child of God with this 5-point outline that I gave you on loving and obeying the Word of God. Making sure your heart's right with God. Being filled with the Spirit of God. I'm talking about these things that will change your life. I'm talking about having the peace of God that comes when you pray with thanksgiving to God. That comes when you just believe and trust Him. When you're backed into a corner, there's nothing else you can do but just say, God, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust You. May the Lord take it and use it. The Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, use it. Bless it to our hearts and lives. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing, if God has spoken to your heart, balcony down below, you come. Come on now. Would you please, as he sings, come give it to
far
God.
Far away in the depths of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than song.
Let the Lord have his way.
In celestial like strains it unceasingly falls. For my soul like an infinite calm. Peace, peace, wonderful peace. Coming down
come on,
from
come
the Father
God
above.
Give it to God. Let the Lord give his peace to you.
What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away, while the years of eternity roll. Peace. Coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever I pray. In fathomless billows above.
And I think when I rise to that city, where the author of peace I shall see, that one strain of the song which the ransomed will sing, in that heavenly kingdom shall be.
Peace is wonderful peace coming.
And sir, if you'll dismiss us in prayer, please.
Thank you.